our text, I'd like to take James 1:3. James 1:3 reads, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James 1:3. I'd like to take that and preach on a message entitled School of Hard Knocks. Pastor, would you please pray over the message? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It works. It really does. When you are tried, when things don't seem to be going the way that you would desire them to, as long as you have faith, this trying of it, it works. It accomplishes something. Luke 13:24 reads, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Strive to enter in at the strait gate. It takes effort. It takes effort. Not that you earn it, but you must strive. You need to push forward. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." They may recover themselves. They may recover themselves. Well, that sounds like they're pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. Not so much. But they may recover themselves in the sharing of God's word. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Excuse me. You know when you push against something and there's resistance, and you continue to push against it, what does that cause? It causes the dogs to bark. What does that cause? That resistance, that pushing against, when you exercise yourself with strength. That's right. You increase your ability to push. James 1:21 reads, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Yes, I've been talking about it works. It takes effort. They may recover themselves, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, as it were. But really, it's more of a lay down your will. Lay down your will. When you get in God's word and you get in God's will, you submit to Him. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Not maybe. Not possibly. Not probably. He will flee from you. (Clears throat) It's one of those aspects of religion where people get caught up in their efforts. Oh, if I, and then I'll, and what will happen if you submit to God's will, if you lay down your will, resist the devil, he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 11 reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11.
Thank you, brother.
Stay awake. He said, stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Remember where you are. Where are you? You're still in this world. But you're not supposed to be of this world. I saw those, you know, kind of the pop culture thing. People, bumper stickers, people start putting in their car. They have that really, you know, stylized N-O-T-W. I looked at it for a long time thinking, I wonder what band that is. You know, kind of looks like a pop culture thing. It's not of this world. Be sober. Be vigilant. Who are you? Well, my name is Nathan. Who are you, though? Well, I'm a man who works at the post office. But who are you? Oh, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a man with a scratchy voice. But who are you? Ask yourself these things. Who are you? Because when you start thinking about it, you begin to think, I am a child of God. I have been redeemed. I have been blessed. I have been called out. I have been sustained. I have been upheld. I have been poked, prodded, pulled. God has borne with me in my hard-headedness. He loves me. He calls me son. I call him father. Who are you? Wake up. Remember where you are. Remember who you are. And as importantly, remember who's holding you. I'm here in the midst of trial and struggle, and I don't know how I'm going to make this happen or that happen or the other thing happen. It seems like everything's just taking me to task. Who's holding you? Psalm 31, 7 and 8 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. God doesn't care. God's not near me. God's not paying attention. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Thank God for large rooms. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. You ever want to find out what somebody's made of? You ever cut the cover off of a golf ball? Yeah. You cut that hard plastic thing off, and inside there's a bunch of little rubber bands, and then you run a knife over that or something, they all start falling apart. God says that He knows you in your adversity. You want to know what somebody's made of? Let them see a little adversity. See how they handle it. Well, it's not fair. God could just come down and snap His fingers and make everything just perfect for me. We are known in our adversity. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And is what? And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, I believe in God. I don't think that's exactly what he was saying there. He must believe that he is. And then he says what he is. It's not the only place in the Bible where it declares who or what God is. I was very selective, and you'll see why. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's Numbers 23:19. You have to believe that God is, and God is not a man. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. God is a consuming fire. You have to believe that God is. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. That's Deuteronomy 33:27. 2 Samuel 22:33 says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Job 36:5 says, behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. You have to believe that God is. Oh, yes, he is. He exists. He said, I am, and I believe that he is. He is all of these things. Psalm 7:11 says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 47:7 says, for God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 54:4 says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. God is. Psalm 62:7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You've got to believe that God is. Yeah, I know God. And I know he is all these things. Do you live like you believe? Do you trust like He is all of these things? When you're laying awake thinking about all of your adversities, do you remember that God is? Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. You have a horrible singing voice, Nathan. The cold doesn't help. You ever find yourself singing? I miss being a letter carrier because when I was a letter carrier, mostly I was out on the street by myself, driving the LLV, the little mail truck by yourself, and you find yourself singing. Your supervisor, you're sitting in the office answering phones and stuff. If you're singing, people looking at you funny. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. That's Habakkuk 3:19. Matthew 22:32 reads, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That's what got me thinking about Brother Daryl. It's a great day to be alive, if you're alive. Oh, my heart's still beating. My pastor was just speaking a little moment ago, a little while ago. It's one thing to be there. It's another thing to be passionate. Oh, I'm there.
I'm with it. I am with God.
Are you? Are you passionate about it? Are you as passionate about Him as He is as passionate about you? You have to believe that He is. John 4:24 reads, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, if you just get enthusiastic about it, woo-hoo, that's really worshiping God in spirit and truth. Well, you could be. I've seen people jumping down south, and you know that they are no more worshiping God. They're just getting exercise. They're doing it because other people are doing it. They'll raise their hands and they'll shout and praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can't just worship loud and forcefully and with passion. And not that you shouldn't do those things. What did he say? In spirit and in truth means you can't be false. I have been in church. This is confession time. I have been in church singing about the victory in Jesus and going, you liar. You are not truly victorious right now. You're feeling sorry for yourself. You're sitting on the pity pot. And you know what? Then you have to actually get the victory so that you can sing victoriously about the victory in Jesus. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And just this morning, we were in church, and I don't even remember what song we were singing, but I was croaking along in my scratchy voice kind of way. All of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost all over me. And what a blessing it was. And I don't think I was the only one, because I kind of looked around and I saw a bunch of hands go up, like all at the same time. I thought, everybody else, or many people, are feeling what I'm feeling right now. And that, it's like, a natural uprising of the hands, like you just can't even hold them down. If you wanted to, you couldn't quite contain it, because all of a sudden you feel the presence of God. And you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because sometimes in truth, you just need "just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood." Sometimes that's what you need. I have been in church praying silently, "Lord, give me a song to sing. Lord, give me a song that my heart can just be passionate about. Lord, give me something to worship, something to say." You have to believe that God is. Acts 10:34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" That means it doesn't matter if you're old, young, man, woman, rich, poor, what color your skin is, what language you speak, what nationality you are. Does not matter to God. He is not a respecter of persons. Well, only if I'm super smart. Only if I'm strong. Only if I'm weak. Only if I walk with a limp. God doesn't care. "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." 1 Corinthians 9, 25. Pardon me. "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." God is faithful. If He said it, He will do it. God is not a man that He should lie. You're going to come to God. You have to come to God as He is, not as you expect Him to be. Often people want to make God in their own image. How do you know that the God of the Bible isn't like all the gods of Egypt and Greece and Rome and the Medo-Persians? What makes the God of the Bible different from all of those gods? He's the God that is, not the God that was made. He doesn't change to conform to your ideals of what He should be. He is God. You can't just carve another tablet and put the rules that you want. You can't just rewrite this book and make Him in your image. People have tried over the centuries, and guess what? This book that we have is very accurate. It hasn't changed a whole lot in the past roughly 3,000 years that we know of. And parts of it are very ancient. And everything that they can find says it hasn't been altered. There have been times in the course of human history where people have tried to remove the Bible from any kind of public consumption. Let's keep it in ancient language. Let's burn them all. Let's destroy them. Let's remove it from the possibility of people coming into contact with this God of the Bible. Guess what? He's still God. If we come to God, you have to come as He is. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. He doesn't backpedal. He doesn't backslide. He doesn't alter things. He's not God, one God to somebody else and a different God to somebody else because, you know, all roads lead to Rome, right? No. I had a man tell me one time, well, you know, that's the way God is. He's whatever you believe he is, and whatever I believe he is, that's what he is. And when you die, you'll go to heaven, and when I die, I'll go where I believe that heaven should be, because heaven doesn't really exist except for as you perceive it. The guy was explaining all this to me. Yeah, I just... Okay, Ray, whatever. He got offended because we were working near a Mormon church, and I said, well, that's all well and good, except for they're wrong. He got mad. He's not a Mormon. He just wanted to say that, you know, God is whatever it is that you believe that he is. And therefore, he really is nothing. It's whatever you imagine him to be. Right, okay. Then he is nothing. God is faithful. Well, why wouldn't God just be whatever people want him to be? Well, it brings us to our next scripture. For God is not the author of confusion. Well, how confusing would it be if your God and your God and your God and your God and my God weren't the same God? They were whatever we imagine him to be. You know, you've seen the bumper stickers. God is coming and she's all angry. God never referred to himself in the feminine gender. I'm getting ready to close. I said a lot of what God is. In summation there, you come to God because you believe that he is. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. You ever been angry at somebody? I mean, oh, I'm so angry at that person. Oh, wow, I can barely stand it. I'm so angry at that person. Oh, God, help me with... Oh, Lord, I need to forgive that person. Lord, forgive me for being angry. God, help me to get it together here. Oh, Lord. Maybe that's never happened to you. You feel righteous in your indignation until you take it to God. And God says,
forgive them.
What are you saying tonight, brother? Through our adversities, through our troubles. I mentioned it this morning. God is nigh thee, even in your mouth. And God is. He's not bound by circumstances. He's not limited. He doesn't change. God holds you and I. He knows the future. He knows us in our adversities. He says he knows us through our adversities. And you know what? Through the resistance and the buffeting of the world, we grow stronger.
Well, no, brother, you don't understand. I'm knocking on death's door.
Praise God. Because you're growing stronger through that adversity. You'll come through it. On the other side, you'll be saved. Whew, what a tough journey that was. And you know what? You'll testify if you stand with him. He was right there with me through it all. He held me in his hands. He protected me from harm. He kept me through that circumstance. I'm going to close with Romans 10, 8 and 9. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How'd you learn all these things, Nathan? Grace and mercy, yes. You know, I'm still learning every day, though. How do you learn? School of Hard Knocks. Things happen. You can feel down. When you feel down, though, remember that God is. I was speaking to Bridget this past week. I said, God is. God knows. God hasn't changed. He's not going to change. The same God that brought you from way back there to here. And if He's ever touched you, He'll touch you again. If He's ever delivered you, He'll deliver you again. If He has ever seen you through a circumstance that you didn't think was possible, He will do it again. Because God is. Pastor.